Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Servant of the I Am. And once again, I'm delighted that you are here. Yes, you could be anywhere else, so I never want to neglect in saying that I appreciate you, and I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your energy as you focus on the things of God, not of the things that I say, but of the Holy Spirit that has been revealed unto me. Father, I thank you tonight. I praise you, and I give you honor, and I give you glory. I thank you, Father God, for those who are listening to me right now at the sound of my voice live, and those who will listen, Father God, during replay. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And Father God, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Father God, that it will help someone, Father God, in their life, in their mind, their body, and their soul. I thank you, Father God, that you are the lifter of our head, Father God. You are the lifter of our souls. And, Father, I thank you for your restoration power when it comes to the soul in which we're going to talk about tonight. Father God, bless those that are listening to me at the sound of my voice. You know what they need. You know what they desire. You, Father God, know how to get it into their hands. Father God, bless them indeed. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen, amen, and we bless God. Well, brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to talk about a topic that really, really has weighed on me this week, particularly today. You may hear it in my voice, but it really, really hits close to home as well. Yes, you know, we are ministers of the gospel, but even ministers of the gospel get tired. Even ministers of the gospel, if they'll be true unto themselves, they sometimes want to crawl up under a rock and just, you know, just let God hold us and just let God just minister to us. But no, we have to be out here on the front lines making sure that you're fed and nourished properly. Those of us that are truly sold out to the true and the living God, it is not for fame, it is not for fortune, but it is because just like Jeremiah, it's just like fire shut up in your bones that you want to get out God's message. You want to get out the message of the Holy Spirit. So you can't just sit idly by and see your friends, your family, your loved ones, people on the earth just going to hell in a handbasket because there is no truth. The Bible says in the last days that there will be false prophets. And really, I mean, there are instances where it's really challenging or difficult to see because they appear to be godly. They appear to be spiritual. They appear to be quoting and saying all the right words. But that's where discernment becomes even greater in this hour. Because the Bible says the enemy is running to and fro to seek whom he can devour. The word of the Lord also told us that in the last days, he would even have to shorten the time for the very elect would be fooled because the enemy and his tactics are going to look so closely aligned to the Holy Spirit that those that do not have their ear to the ground, those that do not have their relationship with the Holy Spirit intact, will be fooled, and they will be thinking and coerced into thinking that what is unholy is of God. You'll think that which is unholy is what is God. And now that's not a part of my message, but I say that to tell you why I do what I do. It is not for fame or fortune, but I must get it out, and I must be obedient to the Spirit of the living God. And tonight we're going to talk about the residuals of soul damage, the residual of soul damage. First, as I began to study on this topic, I found it interesting. And that means that if God mentioned it that many times in the Bible, that means it's important. And the word soul was mentioned 754 times in the Bible, 754 in the Bible. Now, of course, I didn't pull all 754 scriptures, but the word soul is mentioned that many times. And in my learning and in my studies, I've heard and understood that when God mentions something a number of times, that means it's important. And first and foremost, we should know that the soul is important to God. We should know that. We should know because according to the word of God in Genesis 2 and 7, and if you'll get your Bibles and turn to with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And I really would like it if you would bring your Bibles, you know, and listen to me via the phone. But at the end of the day, it's this
applied word. And I just seem to feel that, you know, when you have that Bible physically in your hands, you know, it's tangible to apply the word of God. You know, when we're holding it in our phones, we're reading it, and this could be just me, but we're holding it, the phone in our hands, and we're just reading the word of God, and then we just set the phone aside. You know, but when you have the Bible, it's like, okay, you might can turn the pages. You know, you'll see something else will capture your attention, and you begin to turn the pages, and now you see that you're studying longer instead of, okay, I just got a phone call. So now that scripture is gone off of your phone, or I just got a text. Now you went focusing on that text, and now you totally disregarded that which you were just reading. So it's just me when it comes to the Bible. If you can, just have the Bible with you as we apply this word. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living soul. So what is a soul? What is a soul? Well, one of the definitions that Google had, the soul basically encompasses the mind, will, and emotion. This is the seat of where your mind, your will, and emotion. And then I also looked even further, and the Hebrew says, a living, breathing body. A living, breathing body. A living, breathing body. So our mind and our will and our emotions are all wrapped up into the term we call soul. God says, I breathe the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. Now, from the beginning of time, we know that we have opposition, those that God has said belongs to him. We're going to have opposition in this life. And that opposition comes to what? Kill, steal, destroy. And ultimately, it wants to damage and ultimately kill your soul. But we know God is the author and the finisher of our faith. God is the life-giving force. But at the end of the day, it does not stop the enemy and his cohorts in damaging the soul. And the soul can be damaged. And why do I say that? Because the word of God says, I will lead you beside the still waters. And what? So why would you have to restore something that could not be damaged? The soul can be damaged. And many of us that are traversing this thing called life have had soul damage, have had soul damage, whether it was physical or whether it was emotional. There are all types of soul damage, but these are two of the prevalent ones, physical damage and emotional damage. Well, you say, how does emotional damage the soul? Well, I can give you one from the start of our childhood. If you were not a person that was edified by either one of your parents, if you were not a person as a young child that received the emotional connection and the emotional affirmation from your parents, not just because they're your parents, they're your mother and your father in title only. But did you actually receive the emotional love or the emotional affirmation that should have come from your parents to let you know that you're okay, that everything is going to be all right? If you did not receive that emotional affirmation or that connectivity with your parents, and they were just your parents in title only, and you had a roof over your head and you went to school every day, but yet there was no physical or emotional connection with either one of them. You were never affirmed. Or even if you were affirmed by your mother, but you weren't affirmed by your father, this sets up a cycle for emotional abuse. for emotional abuse. And then this cycle perpetuates itself as we continue to grow older. Then we begin to look for affirmation, and generally that affirmation comes, we go to the wrong places. The people who have an agenda, the people want to, what they work for, the enemy, come to what? They want to come to steal, kill, and destroy. So they come to take the remnants of what you have. All you did was come to them thinking that they truly loved you, thinking that they truly had your back. But all they were there doing was sifting you as wheat. All they were there doing was telling you lies to get what they wanted, telling you lies to gain in, to gain access to whatever it is that you have that they did not. And they began to sift you as wheat. We utilize and we read the scriptures how the enemy comes to sift you as wheat. But we also know that Satan can't not be everywhere. He's not omnipresent like God. So Satan has his soldiers. Satan has his imps who are out in the world, and they have an assignment. Assignment is to what? To kill, steal, and destroy. And one of them that they come to do is soul damage. Because when a soul is damaged, when a soul has been so damaged, the enemy realizes that it's very hard for them to work for the kingdom of God at their full height. It's very hard to work for the kingdom of God and be as effective in the kingdom of God with a damaged soul. With a damaged soul. Be not mistaken, brothers and sisters. Be not mistaken. The enemy is very cunning. He's very cunning. One of the primary spirits that the enemy utilizes against the people of God is Jezebel. Jezebel can be in the form of a man or a woman. I know Jezebel in the Bible is a woman, and people generally speak to Jezebel in those terms that it just resides in a woman. But no, Jezebel can reside in a man as well. Jezebel is in a relationship, is very skillful at soul damage. She or he will laud you with attention. She or he will laud you with affection. She or he would get into your heart, and you're so, and they're so now ingrained into your heart, and now is the time. Now is the time, once you are emotionally connected to them, once you're, whether you have been physical or not, there is now an emotional connection. And generally when a man or a woman, you know, have intercourse, another connection takes place. Now you have a soul tie with this person. Now you have a soul tie with this person that you have given your heart, that you have given yourself to. And now they wait for an appointed time to strike. They wait for an appointed time to strike, to pull the rug out from under you. And you realize they never loved you. They just wanted what you had. You were a person of intelligence. You were a person of influence. You were a person that had things going on for yourself. So the enemy sent someone who was attracted to that. They came in the shape, the form, the fashion of what you would like. Come on, somebody. He's not going to send something that you wouldn't like, that you wouldn't pay attention to, giving them the time of day. So he sends them in the shape and the form and the fashion of someone that you would find attractive. Now you, on the other hand, just think about the right and the left. The enemy is on the right and you are on the left. You, are on the other hand, are broken and wounded because you were never affirmed. On the right-hand side, here comes this handsome, good-looking man or this beautiful woman, and they seem to have all the attributes that you were missing or that you desired. And you come together with them, and now even the more, once they suck your emotional tank dry, let alone finances or whatever else they may have taken. But once they have depleted your emotional tank and left you dry, you are now further emotionally crippled. Emotionally crippled. Give you another instance. A young lady, after she has not been affirmed by parents, mother or father, maybe she was the black sheep of the family, who knows? But at the end of the day, she's now on a quest, or he's now on a quest to be affirmed. Runs into the wrong. This is a young lady now. Little girl. Let me just say a little girl, young man. Runs into the wrong man or the wrong woman. Looking for love, looking for affirmation. Now here comes the pedophile who shows them attention, who gives them time, who gives them money, who gives them candy. But all the while, his whole intent was to steal that young boy, that young girl's soul by soul damage, molestation. Soul damage. Then we grow up. Young boy, young girl grow up. Now they're looking through the eyes of why. Instead of looking at the world how they used to before the soul damage, now they're looking at the world through the eyes of why. Why did this happen? Why can't I be loved? What's wrong with me? And it sets up, particularly in a young woman, it sets her up to be performance-oriented. I have to continue to give in order to be accepted. I have to continue to give myself, my body, in order to be accepted, not understanding that that's not love. Not understanding that that is not true love, that she constantly has to give herself in order to be validated. That's not true love. But the soul damage made her feel like she's got to continue to give in order to receive. She's got to continue to forgive herself in order to receive. And the young man's manhood was broken. It was broken. And then he wrestled with, am I male? Why did that happen to me? He wrestles, and she wrestles with her sexuality. So then they become more and more aggressive, because the more and more mean I can be, the more and more dominating I can be, then that must say that I'm a man. That must say that I'm a man. Not understanding. You're just trying to camouflage soul damage. You're just trying to camouflage soul damage. The Lord tells us, if you go with me to 3 John 2 through 5, 3 John 2 through 5, and the word of the Lord, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I say that again, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. So God has the soul right up there with health. Be in health even as thy soul prospers. So when the soul has been damaged, when the soul is out of line, so is our health. So is our mental capacity. So are our emotions. When there is soul damage, everything is out of line. Remember, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. So when there is soul damage, the mind is conflicted. Your will has been compromised. All because of soul damage. Soul damage. The enemy sets it up very early on when we're young and impressionable. If he doesn't get us through parents, he will get us through relationships. No, if he doesn't get us through parents, then he would get us through friends or family members. If he doesn't get us through friends or family members, then he would get us through relationships. But at the end of the day, he always has someone there laying wait to be able to inflict the poison that will cause soul damage so that you are not living to the fullness of your potential, so that you are not as effective for the kingdom of God as you could be. The design is to take you out of here so that you are so emotionally messed up, so that you are mentally messed up, that you're no good for anyone. So we have a lot of dead men walking around here. They are living, breathing vessels, but they are not alive. They are not alive. They've been stripped of love. The one thing you can do, the one thing the enemy knows, that's why God speaks about it. As a matter of fact, let me see how many times he mentions that. Soul was mentioned 754 times in the Bible. Love is mentioned 551 times in the Bible. But let's see how many times the heart is mentioned. The heart is mentioned how many times? The heart is mentioned 826 times in the Bible. So the soul and the heart are right up there with one another. Soul 754 times, the heart 826 times. These are the two main things that the enemy goes after, the heart and the soul. If you can cripple the heart and you can cripple the soul, you've crippled the person emotionally. Yes, we all know physical abuse will cripple a soul. That's a given. That's a given. We can see the scars and the wounds on the outside when someone is physically beaten. But it's even more damaging that people, the world is waking up to it. But yes, emotional damage, internal damage on the inside, that which you can't see is even the more damaging than if someone hits you in the eye. If they hit you in the eye, that would heal. You would see it heal. But when a person is devoid of love, when a person is devoid of love, when they are not affirmed, it will cripple the soul. It will cripple the soul. So you say, you ask me the question, oh, this is a deep subject, and I probably should have put more time on it. But at the end of the day, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done, but we must turn. We must go back inward. We must begin to practice self-love. And I don't mean to say that as a cliche word. What I'm saying is you must begin to love yourself the way you are searching for someone else to love you. Your parents brought you in this earth, but they didn't get it right. Your mother may not have wanted you. Your father may not have wanted you, but they didn't want to have an. She didn't want to have an abortion. She didn't want that on her hands. But you came here in the earth, and you can feel the coldness. You can feel the chill. You can feel that your other sister or your other brother was favored, even if you're only child. If you're, that's even worse because you have no one to talk to. You sit in the house. yearning for your mother or your father's affection, and they never gave it to you. So then when you got old enough, you called yourself getting a little boyfriend, hoping that he gave it to you. But all he wanted was to get between your legs. Then as you get older, you said, okay, now I see what they want. Then you began to give it to them just to get affirmation, just to get love, just to get some sort of attention. Then now you become this promiscuous little girl who was all she was looking for was love. That's all she was looking for. Soul damage. Mothers and fathers, we have great responsibility when it comes to our children. We are the first line of the We are the first line of defense. That when a girl knows she's loved by her, she won't just fall for any old thing. When a young man is affirmed by his father, he won't just fall for any old thing. Soul damage. Many of us are walking around with soul damage. And whether it's pride or whether you realize something is wrong, you just don't know what it is, why your life has gone a certain way, and you're trying to figure it out. Why does it seem as if every relationship you get into, it ends in failure? Every relationship you get into, it starts off good. Then eventually he emotionally abuses you. He verbally abuses you. And I'm not just talking about the woman. I'm talking about the man too. Women have deadly tongues when they're angry. They're inflicting verbal abuse on the man. They feel like because he's strong, so they begin to hit on him or whatever the case may be. Just fight. I don't mean like a little tap. I mean, come on, man. If a woman just taps you, you can take that. Aren't you a man? But if you're talking about just physical abuse and y'all just going through blows, no. That's never acceptable. No matter who hit who, that's never acceptable. As a matter of fact, as a son or a daughter of God, you must understand that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. The word of God says we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. You've got to stop in that moment right there to see what's coming at you, what spirit that's coming at you. There could be peace in the house, and then all of a sudden, here comes the spirit wanting to argue, the spirit of anger, the spirit of torment. You've got to begin to call those things down. We're so quick to react that then we want to engage in the argument, and it actually fuels the enemy. It fuels the argument because you're giving your power outside of yourself. Soul damage, my sisters and my brothers. Soul damage. I'm going to pray for you right now. It's going on 7:30. I can't remember where I did this from 7:30 to 7:45. But the Holy Spirit is closing right now. And I may speak on it next week. For part two, if the Holy Spirit says so, that there's more that I need to get into, and I know there is. But if the Holy Spirit says I can continue this message on next week, then I will give you a part two. But I just wanted to give you some things to think about when it comes, what is soul damage? If the Lord says that we are a soul, we are a soul living in a body. And when that body takes on trauma, even the word now, they're talking about trauma bonding, of why certain people are staying in traumatic relationships, causing trauma bonding. They become addicted to the up and down. They become addicted to that person. They become addicted to the uncertainty. They become addicted to all the chaos. And when the chaos isn't there, then they don't know what to do, so they run back to the chaos called trauma bonding, another form of emotional abuse, another form. Father, I pray for my sisters and my brothers tonight. There is a guarantee, it's not a question, that many on this line have suffered soul damage. And I thank you, Lord God, as we go through this time with you and gain an understanding of what it is and give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of what we can do about it to help ourselves. Your word even says that you would lead us beside the still waters to restore our souls. You said your request is that our health, Father God, our soul and our health, Father God, prosper, Lord God. That we be in good health and our soul prospers, Father, in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, as we have recognized, Lord God, that we have been operating in soul damage, Father God. We're asking, Father God, for you, the balm of Gilead, Lord God, to come, Father God, and help, Father God, put back the pieces together of the fragmented soul, oh God. We've left fragments, Father God, in relationships. We left fragments to other people in jobs. We left fragments with our mothers and our fathers. We left fragments, Father God, on our husbands or our wives. We left fragments, Father God, with our sisters and our brothers. We left fragments, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in every relationship we've been in. We've left fragments, Father God, and now we're depleted. We're depleted. So we're asking you, Lord God, to send the balm of Gilead. You are the healer. You are the healer of our soul. You are, as a matter of fact, you are the lover of our soul. So I thank you, Lord, for putting the fragmented pieces back together for my sisters and my brothers that are listening at the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord God, for putting the pieces back together for all of us that are on this line. I thank you, Lord. The weapon formed, yes, it did. The weapon formed, and it was a big one, oh, God. But, Father God, now that we realize what was in operation, thank you for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and help us to overcome. You said we are overcomers. Help us to overcome. I bless you, my brothers and sisters, that I see you again on next Sunday. God stay the same. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.